it's Lars Larson. Thanks for listening to my podcast and for listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Lars.
Together, we can forge a new beginning for America.
The 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Now, honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
Many lives would have been lost if not for the heroic actions of the two Capitol Police officers who took down the gunman despite sustaining gunshot wounds. Melania and I are grateful for their heroism and praying for the swift recovery of all victims. Congressman Scalise is a friend and a very good friend. He's a patriot. And he's a fighter.
He absolutely is, although we heard from one of his colleagues tonight who visited him in the hospital. He was heavily sedated, and we get the word tonight from his colleague, Garrett Graves, of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, that it may be that the congressman will suffer some permanent damage as a result of today's shooting at a charity baseball practice session, a batting practice session, attacked by a politically driven terrorist who had had previous run-ins with the police. The only fatality, thankfully, was the shooter, but still, it took a tremendous toll today. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It is a pleasure to be with you, and I'll be glad to get back to your phone calls. But I wanted to bring on our friend, Steve Moore, the distinguished visiting fellow at the Project for Economic Growth at Heritage Foundation. Steve, good to have you back on the program, although these are tough circumstances after what I've chosen to call an act of terrorism today in Virginia. Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
It sounds like we haven't connected with Steve. So I'll tell you what, you guys see if you can get him on the line and we'll talk about them then. Another shooting took place in San Francisco today at a UPS building with an employee inside, four confirmed dead. One of those was the shooter. Still waiting for details on that. Our tech expert, Brian Westbrook, joins me later to discuss how drones could replace some of the features of ambulances in American communities, and if whether or not Facebook is helping or hindering sending out push alerts in times of tragedy. And make sure to cast a vote in my quick poll at LarsLarson.com. I know, I've framed the question up this way for a specific reason. In light of today's events, should America go to nationwide reciprocity for concealed carry? It is one of the campaign promises of Donald Trump. It is a bill that is pending before the American Congress right now, and it's something I think we need to do just as soon as we possibly can. By the way, a couple of mentions today amid all the other bad news. Happy birthday to the United States Army, 242 years old today. Happy Flag Day. And happy birthday to President Donald Trump, who turned 71 years of age. The last time we got a chance to talk to him on this program, he was just about to turn 70. And now, do we have Steve back on the line or not? Okay, guys, I'll tell you what. Let me know when we get back to him. In the meantime, I'm going to take a naysayer call. Tom's on the line. Tom, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Lars. I appreciate it. And my best wishes and prayers go out to the injured people in the Washington, D.C. area. It's a terrible thing.
Absolutely.
A terrible thing. I want to take issue with what you were saying earlier about this being a phenomenon of the left, the Antifa and the hatred coming from the left. And let me just, if I could just see if I can make my point.
Sure. Go ahead.
The last four events like this, there was one in Portland, Oregon, Jeremy Christian, who murdered two people who were coming to the aid of teenage girls, one with a hijab on, yelling, "Get out of my country."
He was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Pardon me? He was seen at the
Actually, you don't know his social media. His social media indicated that he was a Bernie Sanders supporter early on. And unfortunately, I don't know. He may be more crazy than he is political. I think the man today was more political.
Within 2 weeks of that event, he was seen at an anti-Trump rally, and he was
at an anti-Trump rally.
I'm sorry, not the anti-Trump, pro-Trump rally.
Well, maybe so, but as a Bernie Sanders supporter, there were usually Bernie Sanders supporters at a lot of the Donald Trump events, unfortunately. So I'm not quite sure where you're coming from on that one, but Tom, thank you very much for the call. Steve, are you there?
Hi, Lars. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. We had a loose connection earlier. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on the act of terrorism today in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I woke up this morning, you know, I live in Virginia, and to hear that news just really practically down the street was a harrowing experience. I know Steve Scalise very well. He's a great guy, amazing. I consider him a friend. As you heard the president say that, and I think a lot of people consider him a friend. And you know, it's just it's sickening. It's a sickening feeling in my stomach because you know he's still in critical condition right now as we speak. So this is a tough situation. You know what, Lars, I'm going to go to that baseball game tomorrow.
I hope a lot more people go to it because, ironically enough, this was one of those events in Washington, D.C., where it's truly bipartisan. Republicans and Democrats getting together to benefit charitable causes.
Yeah, well, I think that it's going to be an amazing event. I think let's hope that we're able to raise millions and millions of dollars for charities. But something good, you know, can come out of this where people really come together. I mean, you're right. It's one of the very few events these days in Washington that is truly bipartisan. It's a lot of fun. I've gone to these games before, you know, some of the best athletes in the Republican caucus versus the best athletes in the Democratic caucus. But, you know, what can you say? We just, you know, it's so sad that you can't go out into a baseball field today and worry about a shooter. I mean, it's a sickening feeling and all we can do is pray for Steve Scalise, and this police officer, I think, is also in critical condition.
Actually, there are two officers who were wounded, a young lady and a young man, and I'll tell you what, they played a critical role today because they not only shot back at the bad guy and ultimately took his life, but they also drew fire upon themselves because apparently he kept shooting at them as they were shooting at him. But that allowed some of the unarmed people who were simply on the field to be able to make an escape and to have the no death toll among the innocents there. The only dead guy is the terrorist. But, you know, this guy apparently hated Donald Trump with a passion, and he said so on social media, and yet we're told that he wasn't on the radar of the FBI.
Well, you could tell. I mean, look, there's so many crazy people out there, but you could tell. I mean, I did read some of the social media things that he was saying on Facebook and so on, and they were, you know, they were the language of a demented, you know, person. Now, you know, you never know how many of those people are actually going to, get involved in a violent act like this. But you know, those police officers, they may have saved 20 lives.
Yeah, and imagine this, if Steve Scalise had decided to skip batting practice for more pressing matters on Capitol Hill and he hadn't attended, none of the other members had a security detail as he did, and the outcome could have been really worse.
So it was a scary situation. It's happening too often. And, you know, I do think there needs to be kind of a de-escalation in the demonization of what's going on in American politics today. I mean, we have to learn to be able to, disagree in ways that don't, you know, call people, I mean, look, when you see headlines, you know, Republican health plan is going to kill people and so on. I mean, that's overheated rhetoric. And look, I'm not making any kind of trying to politicize this in any way, but I think it's just maybe a time for a little de-escalation.
Well, I'd love to see it, except that I'd like to see the left de-escalate. Huffington Post ran a story 4 or 5 days ago calling for Donald Trump to be indicted for treason, tried, and then executed. And we've seen the play in New York that depicted the mock assassination of the president. Those kinds of things, I think, are coming nearly all from one side and not at all from the other side. And I don't let anybody who calls into this show come on and advocate for political violence against anybody in this country. It's simply not the right thing to do. Steve, thank you very much for your time and for what you do at the Heritage Foundation. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll get to your phone calls and emails. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. And coming up in just a moment, the stress of Facebook safety checks, life-saving drones, and a review of a brand new Microsoft Surface laptop from our tech expert, Brian Westbrook, next on the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It is a pleasure to have you with me tonight, even though the events of today, an act of political terrorism in Northern Virginia, no lives lost except for the terrorist, which is a good result at that end. Unfortunately, one of those who has been grievously wounded in that shooting this morning around 7:15 a.m. Washington, D.C. time, was a member of Congress from the great state of Louisiana. And we know Louisiana well because we have great affiliate stations there, like Talk Radio 107.3 WBRP. And the go-to man there is Bill Profita, who joins me now. Bill, you've been on the program before. It's tough to invite you on under circumstances like this when a member of your state's congressional delegation has been wounded. And according to Congressman Garrett Graves, he may be suffering some permanent damage as a result of the terrorist attack today. Welcome back to the program, though.
Thank you, Lars, and good evening to you and your audience. Yeah, this was a blink of an eye type of thing this morning when we got it as a breaking news story, and we heard that Congressman Scalise, very well known to us, very personable guy, and of course the number three man in the House of Representatives, the majority whip, was basically shot in the hip while practicing baseball. You know, originally we were told that his injuries were not life-threatening. He did have surgery, and coming out of surgery, they have him listed in critical condition right now. That's causing a great deal of concern for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely, especially after Congressman Graves informed me that he had visited Congressman Scalise in the hospital, and even though he was sedated, that Congressman Graves indicated that that he may suffer some permanent impairment because of the shot that he took today.
Well, again, he was hit with a very high-powered projectile at relatively close range for a rifle like that. He was only about 110 feet away, and it hit a very large bony area in the hip. And you know, if you've ever had an injury like that, you know that it's going to take a while before they can fully assess the long-lasting effects. The emotional effects, that is still rippling through our state and through the nation.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask you about, because I'm going to be visiting with you in person on Monday, because we're going to do this show from your studios, WBRP, and you've given me the opportunity to share the stage with Congressman Graves for what, you know, I hope it's going to be a collegial event and a great event where we get a chance to meet with some of your listeners and all, but I wanted to get your read on the state of Louisiana and how it's reacting to one of its members being struck down this way.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Let's start with our own state capitol. Our legislators are in a special session because they weren't able to pass a budget during their proscribed session. Everything stopped. Everything for prayers and some reflections on the floor of the House of Representatives there today around 9 o'clock. We have a brand new superintendent of our state police who was permanently appointed yesterday. We were talking to his spokespeople as this was coming down and asking them, you know, are they a little bit worried? Are they tightening security? And we have this wonderful intelligence gathering operation called the Fusion Center. And their official statement was they started monitoring chatter input from the Fusion Center automatically when this happened, and they're keeping an eye on things. But it has certainly made the idea of, as you put it, political terrorism so close to home. It's really one more thing on the radar, and it looms quite large right now.
Well, Bill, you and I spend our days talking about the issues. And one of the things I tried to imagine today as it became clear what the motives of this Hodgkinson terrorist were, and I thought, well, if somebody had walked onto that field, let's say, wearing a, you know, or having a social media page that had swastikas and other things on it, and he had said, "Is this where the Jewish baseball team practices?" And when somebody told him yes, he'd shot a number of people, I don't think the media would have a tough time running directly to the appropriate conclusion: this person did this out of a religious motivation, driven by some kind of, you know, act of terrorism aimed at a particular group. And if it had been, say, a white supremacist or somebody wearing a, you know, the kind of garb that might indicate that he doesn't like people of color, and he had attacked a black baseball team, they wouldn't have had any trouble with that one. We've seen incidents like that in Dillon Roof in South Carolina. But here, a man walks up, inquires of Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida, is this where the Republicans are practicing? And the congressman tells him yes, and he then walks onto the field, and he apparently was the shooter, and he proceeds to shoot people, that all of a sudden the media is running around, the mainstream media, you know, the cable news and all the rest, saying we're not quite sure what his motivation was or what might have driven him to do this. And the more we find out about this guy's background, he called Republicans the American Taliban. He suggested that Trump and company should be destroyed. I don't think that's real tough to read his motivation. Now, he's dead, so we may never truly know. But
you know, apparently some of our colleagues in the media have a perspective where they don't want to do their research. It was on his Facebook page, the hate, the vitriol. You know, he even mentioned Steve Scalise by name in a couple of his posts. So it was all right there.
So what did we as a country do when there's been hot political rhetoric for at least 2 years? You could actually go back a number of years before that, maybe even trace it back to Florida or to Missouri, to Ferguson, and see that when that hot political rhetoric starts and certain people in politics choose not to call it out and say this has got to stop, I'd like to see it stop from my side, but I'm not aware of Republican gangs roaming the streets, breaking windows and setting fires, but I sure know there are a bunch of folks on the left who've been doing that lately.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We did not get here in Louisiana any break at all, even while this was still unfolding. I mean, the police units were still stringing crime scene tape. And before this person's political stripe was known, a Democratic operative posted on our station's website, how in the world could this person get a hold of a weapon like that?
What?
You know, the automatic assumption.
It's a rifle.
Was that this was, well, that's right, but this Democratic political operative had the automatic assumption that it was some sort of right-wing Republican extremist that was perhaps unhappy with the Republicans that were practicing there. I wish I had the answer too, Lars. I don't have any wisdom on this other than I'll go with what our own Congressman Garrett Graves said. He said, you know, political disagreement is part of our process. It's venerable. It's honored. When fringe players decide that they want to disagree in a violent fashion, that is completely unacceptable. There's no place for it in our system.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know the thing I've been asking people for tonight, and it was a campaign promise of Donald Trump. It's a bill before the Congress right now. I'd like to see nationwide reciprocity for concealed carry. The only thing that saved many of those people on that field today was the fact that there were two people with guns there, two members of the Capitol Police. But if Congressman Scalise had not been there, those men, the man and the woman with the guns who saved so many lives today, there wouldn't have been anybody there to protect them. I'd love to see that kind of reciprocity so that average Americans are capable of protecting themselves when people decide to engage in acts of political terrorism like today.
Well, I agree with you. And you know, Lars, it was very interesting as we were, on the air live, taking the little snippets of information as we got them. There were so many people that didn't quite grasp until this morning that only the highest ranking members of Congress have a security detail. Garrett Graves doesn't have a security detail.
Nope.
Cedric Richmond from the district right next to Steve Scalise's does not have a security detail. And if Steve Scalise hadn't been there with these two Capitol Police officers, as Senator Rand Paul said, it would have been a complete bloodbath. Those are his words, not mine.
Yeah, and he made that point on this program as well. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that he decided not to skip batting practice today for more urgent matters up on Capitol Hill, because the result could have been a great loss of life today. Bill, I'll look forward to seeing you on Monday. We'll do the show live from your studios. Thanks for the invitation down to Baton Rouge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we look forward to having you as well, and we will see you on Monday, Lars.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Bill Profita from WBRP Talk 107.3 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I'll do the show on Monday. I'm glad to be with you and glad to take your phone calls and your emails. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
Lars Larson.
Father's Day is this Sunday. Just want to remind you, dads are super hard to shop for. The challenge is to get dad a great-looking gift that's both useful and doesn't break your bank. Thankfully, this year, there are Harry's shave sets, and there's still time to get dad the perfect gift from Harry's. No matter who you're buying for, this year, save with Harry's. do what I've done for years, buy from Harry's for yourself. But for Dad, how about the limited edition Father's Day shave set? It includes a matte black razor handle, a chrome razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel, three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges, and a travel cover on top of it. It comes in a sleek giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card for free. Just go to harrys.com, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com, and redeem a special offer just for folks who listen to this show. Harry's will give you $5 off on your purchase with promo code LARS. That's L-A-R-S. Don't wait. Father's Day is this Sunday. Time's running out. Order today at harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com. Enter LARS at checkout to get $5 off. Get one for yourself, but get one for Dad as well. He'll enjoy it. Glad to take your phone calls and your emails on this day in which we've witnessed an act of political terrorism in Virginia, with five people shot, two of them in critical condition, including Congressman Steve Scalise from Louisiana, who was shot. He's been in surgery. He's been upgraded to critical condition, but he may suffer some lasting damage, according to his colleague who was on the show with us earlier. Naysayers go to the head of the line on this program, and Ryan is on the line right now. Ryan, where do you and I disagree?
Well, there's not a much of a disagreement, my brother, but I'm going to be honest with you. When the Republicans and Tea Party members are out of power, there was the rhetoric that led to a congresswoman in Arizona being shot in the head, where she's now mentally and physically handicapped, to now this is the same sort of violence and rhetoric that you on the political right.
You're referring to Gabrielle Giffords, the former member of Congress, yes, but ma'am. How do you blame her injuries came from being shot by a man who had taken drugs for a long time. He was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic. How was his crime political?
I'm going to be honest with you. There are some of that rhetoric that plays to those people. Some of those people may not even follow politics, Lars, and they may take it as a call to action of some speech.
Well, Ryan, engage in a conversation with me. Tell me the thing that Republicans said that you believe, or conservatives said that you believe, set off Jared Lee Loeffner.
Well, sir, you have to understand something. The Bible says it best: if you plant a seed, you reap what you sow.
Ryan, I get that it's
out there.
Ryan, hold up, Ryan. We're not going to play the game this way. I want you have said that things conservatives said caused Jared Lee Loeffner to go out and shoot congressmen. Well, what do you think it is that Republicans did or said that caused Jared Lee Loeffner to go out and attack Congresswoman Giffords?
When Governor of Alaska Sarah Palin put the crosshairs of congressional districts of Democratic lawmakers at that time.
Ryan, hold up a second. Ryan, this argument's been used before, and I want people to know what you're saying. This was Sarah Palin when she was a vice presidential candidate. She showed a map in which they were targeting different congressional districts, which the Democrats do. And by the way, after that charge was leveled, it was pointed out that both sides use crosshairs as a way to identify, not all websites, but it's not an uncommon thing for people to use in advertising or on Facebook pages to say, we're targeting high or low prices, we're targeting this, we're targeting that. And in fact, the language is used.
You said that Mr. Law is a little off. Now, I understand that kind of market.
Now, you know, unfortunately, Ryan, your Obama phone has given up the ghost, but I appreciate the phone call. And believe me, when people hear that, they say, you interrupted him. No, I'm sorry, but he has a bad cell phone. But can you imagine this argument, that anytime someone uses a crosshairs on a website to indicate that we're going to go after this particular congressional district and see if we can win more votes there, that's done by politicians on both sides, and it is common language and it's common imagery that's done. Jared Lee Loeffner was just plain old crazy. He was paranoid, schizophrenic, diagnosed so incompetent he couldn't even aid in his own defense after he was accused of the crime of attacking Congresswoman Giffords. And no conservative, including Sarah Palin, said that anyone should go out and attack any member of Congress, let alone Gabrielle Giffords. Let's go to Woody. Hey, Woody, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Hey, Lars, how are you today?
I'm doing well tonight. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I've got a lot of points. They all dovetail into each other, so I'll just go right through them real quick.
Let's get to them.
And I think that this act that happened in Virginia today by James was sort of long knife-ish. I think that we have brown shirts in play that support socialism through Bernie Sanders as their catalyst. Occupy Democrats, some of their members condone this action. Antifa condones this action. When you have a group of people that are surrounding a person like Bernie Sanders that has promised to give them handout after handout after handout after handout, and then suddenly that's taken away through a legal election,
yep,
they're upset. And I think that these brown shirts, I don't think that this is done. I think that there's going to be more actions like this, and it's scary.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that we are like, I mean, all I base that on, Woody, is the best predictor of what's going to happen in the future is what's already happened. And what do we see? I mean, even outside my own studios, I have seen protest after protest by people, and they're all from the political left. I don't see any right wingers out marching in the streets or breaking the windows at Starbucks or setting fires or throwing bottles and rocks at the cops. It's all coming from one political side. And I think there are too many people in American politics who try to be too nice. They look for moral equivalence. You know, it's the kind of moral equivalence you hear when the Palestinians, for example, stage a terrorist attack on Israel and they kill old people and babies. And then the Israeli military or the Israeli police go back and they find the terrorists and the terrorists kill. And the American news media puts it as, well, it's just a tit for tat kind of thing. It's just this for that. And it's really just moral equivalence on both sides. I don't see the moral equivalence. If somebody could show me the violent, rampaging Tea Party groups or the violent, rampaging, you know, Trump supporters. But I do seem to see a whole bunch of violent, rampaging lefties out there. And you're absolutely right about that. Let's go to Joseph in Puget Island. Joseph, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Thanks, Lars. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, as a few callers ago, you had a woman call in there trying to imply that the right is just as bad as the left as far as the violence, and she's saying, who killed Martin Luther King? Who killed this person, yep, that person? A little basic fact-checking and internet searching, she could find out that James Earl Jones was
James Earl Ray.
Ray. Oh, dang, now you know the guy's name all screwed up. But the guy that shot Martin Luther King was a Democratic supporter.
Yep.
He followed and volunteered in his campaign headquarters in Hollywood, L.A.
You're absolutely right. And there's a long, long list of Democrats and lefties who have staged. In fact, go back and look up Sirhan Sirhan and his politics. You know, you've heard me talk about my sleep number bed and how well I sleep. My sleep number setting, and I'm not afraid to share it, is 65. Tina, my wife, her setting is 35, sometimes 40, but you can adjust it. And now my friends at Sleep Number have introduced the most amazing bed ever. I've tried it out. It's the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, designed to keep each of you effortlessly comfortable for your best possible night's sleep. Like all their beds, Sleep Number 360 smart beds let you choose your ideal firmness and support for each side. And now, new air, responsive air technology, the bed senses your every move and adjusts exactly for you, so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. Do you know many of us fall asleep faster if our feet are warm? Well, the Sleep Number 360 can even pre-warm each side of the bed. It's just right for each one of you. Does your bed do that? I'll tell you what, it's time to meet the bed that could only come from Sleep Number. And that's the only place you'll find it, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Find one exclusively at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com to find a Sleep Number store near you and ask about 48 months financing. And be sure to tell them Lars sent you.
The conversation continues at LarsLarson.com.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It is a pleasure to be with you, and I'll be glad to get back to your calls in just a moment at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com, where you will find the following quick poll. We put up this question for today. In light of today's events, should America go to nationwide reciprocity for concealed carry? And if you're worried about the $5 college words like reciprocity, reciprocity. Reciprocity means that your concealed carry permit in one state would be good in other states in the same way that you don't have to check whether your Washington state driver's license is also good in California or Florida or Texas. And on that point, I've invited Rick Manning on from Americans for Limited Government to talk about this. Rick, it's good to have you back on the program. This is an issue for the United States Congress, and it's a promise of Donald Trump, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it makes absolute sense. When you think about it, Lars, we have a national right to keep and bear arms. It isn't just a state right to keep and bear arms. And as a national, a part of our rights as Americans, it only makes sense that we should have reciprocity between states, and we ought to be able to, if we live in Oregon, be able and have a concealed carry license, ought to be able to travel to Idaho and have that honored, and vice versa.
So why hasn't it happened yet?
Well, it hasn't happened because the Congress looks at a lot of different issues. We've got a large number of members from the so-called blue states on the coast who would be against it. And so you end up with it being a political issue that right now it hasn't ripened. But, Lars, I think that we even need to be bigger than this. Fact is, we should have a national concealed carry. We do have, Second Amendment says right to keep and bear arms. That is a pretty definitive statement. Supreme Court has ruled that bear arms means that people have a right to individually hold firearms and carry them. So it only makes sense, since the Supreme Court has ruled that we have Congress put language into place that allows for implementation of that on a national basis. So people who live in a place like New York are able to, in fact, be able to exercise the right to self-protection, free from the concerns of Mayor Bill de Blasio not liking it in New York City.
Well, and the funny thing is, in theory, in every single state in America today, you can obtain a permit to carry, can't you?
Yes, in theory. It's an extraordinarily arduous task in many states. In Maryland, it's virtually impossible where I live. But yes, in theory, you can. But you and I both know that there's states like Florida that took really aggressive and smart action back in the 80s, where they created a standard that the police all signed off on, and it allowed for somebody to get a concealed carry permit with some basic training and with the capacity to own a gun, and they have to be legal, they have to go through a background check and the like. And it's proven to be very, very successful. The homicide rate in Florida since its implementation has been cut in half. And so the homicide rate in Florida today is the same as it was in the early 60s. And that's proof that the old lie that if you have law-abiding citizens having firearms on their possession, that it will cause there to be blood in the streets, that's just not factually true. It has been a lie from its inception, and it isn't true any more true today than it was before.
The only reason I said today it's in theory, because you can get a carry permit in every state and the District of Columbia. And again, New York, Illinois, Maryland, the district is tough. California is tough. But the trend in America, if you go back to when I got my carry permit 25 years ago, it was only possible in about three dozen states. And it, since then, it's gone from three dozen to all of them. And I'm just suggesting that if people want to watch trends as to how we change laws in America, whether it's laws on marriage or laws on other things, that this is something that apparently every state wants to have at some level or another. So at that point, why not give nationwide recognition to the state licenses until and unless, and I would like to see it, a national carry permit is established? Because, as you point out, it's not a state right. It's not a right when you live in a certain city or county. It's a federal constitutional right.
And you're absolutely right on the reciprocity. That would be a tremendous step in the right direction. There's absolutely no reason why Congress shouldn't move forward with it. And today's tragedy here in Washington, D.C., where a Bernie Sanders supporter went off and tried to kill a bunch of Republican congressmen practicing to play in a charity baseball game.
And I guess I'd just point out, the game was in Virginia, and Virginia is famously very friendly to the Second Amendment. It's the home of the NRA, the home headquarters of the NRA. But for all these members of Congress who have to operate within the district, the rules still apply to them. Now, I would imagine if any of them went to the, you know, through the D.C. process, they could probably get a permit, but it'd be incredibly problematic. And then they drive through Maryland, they're in big trouble. And you can't really operate back in that area without occasionally going into different states with a whole bunch of different rules.
I personally know a congressman who lives in Virginia. He carries his gun to the bridge. The Capitol Police meet him at the bridge, drive his gun to the Capitol building. He then drives to the Capitol building, and he somewhat outside the rules, then has his gun available to him on the Capitol grounds.
Now, isn't that ridiculous that a member of Congress has to go through that rigmarole so that he can enjoy the Second Amendment constitutional right that all of us should be able to enjoy?
It's absurd, and it's particularly since the Heller decision, Second Amendment decision, was based around the District of Columbia laws. It is extraordinarily weird that, you know, they're the ones who really aren't following it at all. And at some level, the courts need to have the law enforced that they found very clearly that there's an individual Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
No, that's crazy, which is why when I saw the appeal from Americans for Limited Government, your organization, to say, let's get something done about this, and it's possible to actually act on this, and then we might actually, you know, foreclose more opportunities for bad guys to take the action that he did on a political basis.
Absolutely. We know one of the greatest protections we have in our country is if something bad starts happening like that, people can, if they have the ability to have a gun on their possession, they then have the ability to return fire and save lives. We've seen that time and again across the country. And today we saw it because Capitol policemen were there. You know, Lars, it's important to know that if Steve Scalise had not been there, there would not have been any Capitol policemen there. And it took the Alexandria Police Department about 3.5 minutes to get from the, you know, get to the location. All the while, a guy would have been just reloading and firing at members of Congress.
Well, I think you're right, because the estimate is that Hodgkinson, the now dead terrorist, is estimated to have fired 50 or 60 shots. And the only thing that kept him from hurting more people was the fact that the two officers, both of whom were wounded, managed to keep his head down by firing back at him. Rick, we all appreciate what Americans for Limited Government does. Just keep up the good work, and thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Glad to have you on. Rick Manning from ALG. Back in just a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.